Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Loveline with Dr. Chris on Channel Q.
All right, y'all. Here we are, another night. I'm here to keep you company, keep you entertained, give you some facts. So thanks for checking out Loveline. You know, a lot of people are turning to podcasts, though. So, you know, you can check out all of our old shows. All of them are podcasted at, what is it? We are Channel Q or radio.com. But we got a great show planned for you. We're going to be talking later in the show about coping mechanisms because I want everyone to really check in on the health of the ones that they're utilizing. And of course, we got a little celebrity rehab because celebrities are still living their lives and we got something to learn from that. But let's talk about some headline news. Walmart, I love this one. This one makes me laugh. Walmart reports increased sales in tops, not bottoms. And I'm not talking about sexual positions, y'all. I'm talking about clothing. Why? Well, if you're working from home, you are definitely not worried about what you're wearing. And a lot of people are doing work from home via Skype and Zoom. And guess what? That never includes a full body shot. So people are just worried about wearing dress tops and dress shirts, wearing pajamas, underwear, or God bless you, maybe you're wearing nothing underneath. So that I get. I actually understand that. It's all about comfort. And I think if nothing else, that is the gift of what's coming out of this. I'm still doing therapy over the phone, which, by the way, I've opened up some slots. So if you're a fan of my work and you want to work with me, you can go to Dr. Chris at drchrisdonahue.com, reach out. We can try to set something up. But that's the beauty of this. Like, I'm using my therapy time via the phone to go for a walk into the fresh air. But you better believe I'm wearing my pajamas with my mug of coffee sitting there connecting and doing this really important, valuable work. But, you know, maybe you're not going to work with me, but do know that therapy is available. Therapists are still working and we are working hard and we're offering services with all the different ways we can technologically. Now, again, we can only do therapy in the cities that were licensed, the states were licensed, California, but we can offer coaching and supportive services to people that aren't in our states. So that's why I'm able to offer that to anyone and other therapists as well. Sliding scale, some are doing it for free. So definitely take advantage of that. I think it's a really beautiful, powerful thing. So that's that. Now, let's also talk about the fact that we want to be careful about the social media and the news that we're bumping into and the impact it's having on us. I work from a trauma-informed perspective, and that means that I'm always looking at how trauma informs something or how something might lead to trauma. And what that means is there's a lot of people that are still talking about the fact that we should be using our time a certain way. And I'm saying it should be rooted in rest and self-care. So we are not working from home. We are in the middle of a trauma, self-isolating, trying to get work done. We are not doing school from home. We are trying to do education online in the midst of coping with a trauma and all these new mood disorders and characterological things that are coming up. And the reason why I say it like that is the expectations have to be different on our availability, our energy levels, our focus, our anxiety. So please know that. Give yourselves a break. Teachers, give students a break. I would love for everyone to get graded differently. The time expectation and homework and output has to be different. Parents, same thing for the children. And also employers on your employees. It is different. The expectation cannot be the same. In fact, it should not be greater because of working from home. It should be less. People are at home trying to do work in school while having children run around, pets, loved ones. Not everyone has internet or good internet connections, or they're sharing the internet, or they are squeezed into a room that they're sharing, or they're in the closet. I mean, I'm hearing all sorts of stories. So the expectation on what we're putting out and our productivity has to be different. So please, employers, teachers, and us ourselves, we have to be a little more open and flexible in the way that we're encountering all these different things, because this is a different time. This one's amazing. A landlord changes the locks after a church defies self-isolation orders. Yes, they are getting arrested, and they should be. There are still some churches and pastors that are having their services held. We talked about this. Hundreds, thousands of people showing up. Well, this landlord was like, yeah, not on my watch. I'm changing the locks. Thank you for doing that. Because again, the decisions we make are impacting everyone. This is creating more trauma. The trauma of us being more dissociated, locked down, distanced, and you needing to follow through on services. No, you can do your spiritual or religious practices from home, from technology, in a multitude of ways. I'm sorry, I do not agree that you need to actually go to church. So thank you for following through and doing that, because it is so distressing to me that they're still saying that people should be showing up and allowing that. That's a mess. I love this one. New Zealand, y'all got it on point. New Zealand Prime Minister, who I am a big fan of, her name is Jacinda Ardern, she came out and said, guess what? Easter Bunny and Tooth Fairy, this is adorable. Those are essential jobs, so they're still able to work. So there's a lot of families and parents that are thankful for that, because for some cultures, that's a really meaningful rite of passage, and it also keeps the kids happy. I mean, how do you explain to a child that the Easter Bunny or Tooth Fairy is not able to come right now because of COVID-19? A lot of parents are still trying to keep things business as usual, keep the kids entertained, distracted, happy. So God bless that one. And finally, DuckTales. Do you remember that show? I didn't know it was still going. They are introducing two gay dads. I love this. This is something gay or straight everyone needs to get familiar and comfortable with seeing. So I love that old school show that I grew up on is kind of meeting the times where we're at. Yep, gay people exist, whether you like it or not. And we got to all learn how to encounter it, especially kids. They need to see it, get comfort with it, have the languaging for it. Love stuff like that. So I'm glad that the networks and television shows are branching out into that, because right now that's kind of what we're all immersing ourselves in. I've never watched so much damn TV in my entire life than I am right now. So I'm thankful that we're still creating some quality programming. All right, coming up next, we're going to be talking about really analyzing consciously the coping mechanisms we're using, because yes, some are better than others. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris on Channel Q.
All right, we're back. And before I get into the coping mechanisms discussion, because it's actually a really, really, really valuable thing, and I'm concerned about it, I wanted to share with you something that came across my desk that I think is really adorable, but also just so timely as to where we're at. It's called the quarantine score. And you get a point for each of these things you've done. You get a point if you got out of bed. You get a point if you change out of your PJs. You get another point if you brush your hair and your teeth, or even styled your hair and made coffee or went outside. And what I like about it is not that I want us to try to like get as many points as possible or feel bad if we don't have a lot. It's just the idea that each of these really basic things that historically for us don't hold a lot of meaning, they do right now. And we should be giving ourselves a break, and we should be really proud of the small accomplishments, because that's kind of all we can really hold ourselves accountable to is, did you get out of bed or did you lay in bed? Not that there's anything wrong with laying in bed all day. Did you brush your hair? Maybe you didn't need to, and that's cool too. So again, it's a joke, holding it lightly, but you know, again, we this is a creative, funky time, y'all, so we got to give ourselves a break. Okay. So here's the thing. It's twofold. Number one, I'm talking a lot to people about distractions. Why? Well, because that's what's going to give our nervous system and our psyche a break. We need to take a moment away from our own concerns, the news, and even what's going on with those we might be self-isolating with. It's very overwhelming. But we don't want to keep distracting ourselves to a point of having this idea that we shouldn't be feeling anything. I want us to feel. And I want us to take time to feel and to express what we're feeling. That's how we connect deeper to ourselves and stay embodied. But also, that's how we connect with those around us. So it's both. It's that odd balance of how do I take time away, but also spend time with myself and my feelings. So make sure that you are doing both, that you're distracting, but you're also really staying present with yourself. Now, coping mechanisms, they are not all created equal. I'm seeing these, these memes and these posts where people are like, hey, drinking already, 4 p.m. I don't think that's funny. I think that's actually really distressing. I don't want people over-reliant upon some really toxic or immune deficient coping mechanisms. Alcohol is bad for every system of your body, and it really decreases immune health. And so, no, please do be thoughtful with the way that you're engaging with certain coping mechanisms, specifically alcohol. I'm really having some worries about the way people are utilizing it, because it's going to make you also feel worse. Again, if you're in a good mood, that's the better position from which to drink. But if you're sad, anxious, scared, depressed, no, do not drink alcohol. Find a better way to get that need met. And that's what I want y'all to walk away from, which is, before you engage in your coping mechanism, take a second and say to yourself, what am I feeling? And is there another way to get this need met that might be healthier, more sustainable, actually nourish me? Because coping mechanisms at their best make us feel better or nourished. They don't deplete us. And alcohol is depleting. So yeah, please be very thoughtful about the role that alcohol is playing in your life. We do want to be conscious of our coping mechanisms. It is not a free-for-all. So although I'm saying to people, hold loosely the structure you're used to, maybe you're engaging in some things a little more familiarly, a little more consistently, a little more deeply, you know, be kind with yourself. We still do want to think about how health matters. We are talking about immune functioning. And also, our mental health matters, and all these things impact both. And so again, not a free-for-all. Still be thoughtful with the mechanisms you're using to cope and self-soothe, and also go for things that are going to make you feel nourished and make you feel better, in the very least, at least neutral. But if something's making you feel worse during or after, that is not a coping mechanism. That is not self-care. That's actually a little self-abusive. We don't want to be walking ourselves into a higher state of depletion. If anything, we need to be doing the opposite: self-care, amplifying, building up, supporting. So try to choose those things that are more robust. It's all about, again, the basics: restorative sleep, getting to sleep on time, getting 8 to 9 hours, hydrating, right? Drinking that water, exercise and movement, absolutely every single day, fresh air and sunlight, and also as much as we can of nutrient-dense foods. That's going to be plant-based foods. Really filling up your plate and your day and your meals with nutritious, dense plant-based foods. That's going to be the vegetables. Again, snacking is fine. If you're a drinker, some alcohol use is fine. Caffeine is fine. But there's a limit. It is not a free-for-all, and those things will have an impact on us. So be thoughtful about that. Staying up late, playing video games, awesome stuff. But again, paying attention to the role they're playing, because again, we're trying to ground ourselves. I don't want people to be just letting loose and having no boundaries or consciousness, because at some point we're going to come out of this, and the impact all of this has had on our health matters. And although we're all going through some new emotional experiences, I still want us to use this time to be a little transformative. I'm all about mental health. So I like the idea of people looking at, wow, what are the things I'm leaning on? And are there other options? And what impact is that having on me? I'm having all my clients journaling, being really self-reflective, using this time for some transformation. That's time well spent. So really, really, really kind of zero in on that. And that's what I'm just even asking of myself. Is I want to come out of this with something. I want to look back knowing that the time was used wisely, even if that's just to recenter and prioritize rest and healing. I think that should be everyone's center point and goal, you know, really rooted in that. But I want to look back knowing that I actually took care of myself. Now is not the time for us to really beat ourselves up, and our coping mechanisms could possibly be used in that way and weaponized. So just be really thoughtful. Know that there's always a lot of different ways to get those emotions dealt with and supported. So just check in on that one. All right. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline with Dr. Chris on Channel Q.
All right, we're back, and now it's time for some celebrity rehab. So, of course, we've got Loveline's pop culture guru, Nick Moore, with us. Nick, where have you been?
In isolation.
I've missed you. I've missed you. I've been doing this new show. I'm listening to Stay Connected, live streaming show. So, Loveline, we're still going strong. We just haven't been... we just haven't been following the same structure, but we missed you. You're back with us. And I thought, you know, God bless the celebrities. I'm sure they've been up to something during this quarantine.
I mean, you know what? For people being in quarantine, there's not that much news, which is kind of nice in a way, because I really think that the end of celebrity culture is near, but that's a whole different topic for when we get out of social isolation.
Well, it's funny because I've seen on like the IG Explorer, there's a couple pages that are like tracking photos of celebrities with their masks and gloves on going grocery shopping. And I was like, okay, I guess that's interesting.
Yeah, and like that's the most exciting news of the day. So it really means that times are tough in celebrity land. But what's been really amazing during this quarantine situation is that we've come to see that celebrities are honestly a lot like us. They're not they don't have more privilege than us. And one thing that I am loving right now is that Jennifer Lopez and A-Rod have to put their wedding on hold. And I'm not loving the fact that they're putting their wedding on hold. Don't get me wrong. I love that they are just like the rest of us. So Jennifer Lopez went on and said that, you know, everything's kind of on hold right now. She might have to postpone her wedding because of this coronavirus, and you can't have these big gatherings anymore. And I don't know about you, Dr. Chris, but for me, a lot of my friends have been getting engaged during this time, and we've had to really just pivot and get in our cars and do drive-by engagement toasts.
Adorable, because I've seen that done for that. I've seen it done for people's birthdays. I mean, that's adorable.
Yeah, or Zoom weddings, which has been like a thing lately. One of my friends did a Zoom wedding.
Now, what was the reasoning in that? Because in my mind, I would have thought, wait, just push it off and then everyone can celebrate. Why the rush? Why force it now?
I think certain cultures and people have a rush because, you know, culturally for a lot of people, they don't move in until legally married.
Got it. Okay.
Or, you know, if you really want that anniversary date for your wedding or if that anniversary date really means something to you, then you can go ahead and do the Zoom wedding, kind of like a shotgun wedding. Personally, we're all laughing, all my friends, because if I were engaged in this time, this would be ideal for me to get married because I want to elope.
Really? Why am I surprised to hear you say that? Yeah.
Oh, I hate the idea of like a huge wedding.
Really? Nick, who are you? I'm shocked to hear that, but okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fun fact. No one really like would think that about me either, so I'm not surprised that you feel that way too, but I think that it's just so intimate and so nice, and it really is. If you really are getting married for the person and not for the hoopla, and in this day and age you kind of get married for both, I feel, then it's a really special time for you to just elope and be together and live together and have that time together. So it's nice to see that other celebrities are having the same problem too, and they're not exempt from having to postpone their wedding.
Yeah, I mean, this topic is important because a couple people have called into my show and even some patients that are kind of processing the possible cancellation or delaying of certain milestones, whether it's someone's, you know, anniversary, people, they retire from work or they have a big anniversary or a big birthday, or like you said, a wedding. And the question they're asking is, you know, do we still find a way to do it and bring people together in a very distance alternative way? And look, that's like a personal decision. Again, thank God for technology in that people can do a Zoom wedding or a Zoom anniversary or Zoom birthday party, because some people are again, self-isolating by themselves and not with others. And so it's really meaningful to bring people together in that way. And I do like the idea, and I've seen those cute videos of the people doing the drive-bys. But I think it's okay if you're on the fence to say to your friends and family or even your partner, look, I really want the real-time experience of my birthday, the holiday, the graduation, the celebration, the wedding. And I think it's okay to say, I want to delay it. Even if it's weeks or months after your actual birthday or anniversary or whatever it is, to say, look, these are symbolic meanings. And so they don't have to take place on the actual day. You can celebrate your anniversary a month later. And guess what? It will still be a beautiful thing with a lot of meaning. And those that love going over the top for their birthdays, it's okay to hold your birthday party a month or so after its actual date. It will still have meaning and value. So please know that. I don't want people to think that it doesn't hold any meaning or value for anyone if it's after the fact. We are, again, in strange times. We're having to be creative, but more so, we have to be flexible. And so please try to understand that if someone wants to delay or postpone or reschedule an event that involves you or for you, try to be more understanding. The holidays are coming up. I just saw that Easter's a week away. And again, some people are always with family for these holidays. holidays, and now people are going to be spending them alone or just doing a quick check-in with a family member or loved ones, and that has to still be able to hold meaning and value. So again, do the best with what we've got. I'm glad we have technology. That's going to be your best friend, and you know, we're all kind of in this together. So thank you for bringing up that topic. Make sure you're checking out, though, my show, I'm Listening, Stay Connected. That's Monday through Friday at, 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern on all the radio.com handles, Facebook, Twitter, their Instagram. And I'm posting some of those clips, so definitely check that out. Listen to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back. Time to slide into those DMs. Sliding into the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sexy world and we want you to explore with confidence. Here we go. Hey, Dr. Chris. I've seen this guy and about a month into dating, we started having sex. And that was when I discovered he had premature ejaculation. I wasn't angry or anything like that, just really confused. A week or so later, we tried having sex again, and it was okay-ish. I didn't orgasm. Then a week or so after that, we tried again, and he once again couldn't keep it for more than a minute. I was hugely disappointed. I told him that my love language was physical touch, and I had a high sex drive, and I wanted more, even if he was finished. Oral, etc. I like that you provide that. He got really offended and broke up with me, but the problem is I still really have feelings for him and would like to be with him. What do you think I should do to get him back? Oh, that's actually the surprise twist. I didn't think that's where this was headed. Okay, I want to say just a couple things. I'm glad you weren't angry that he ejaculated prior to your comfort level, because we don't have control over that. And I work with clients on getting comfortable in their body. And if their body takes a long time or shorter or longer, it is what it is. We all have different levels of arousal and different nervous systems. And all these different forces come together and we don't have control. And I don't want us to. I will not work with clients on learning how to go up against their body, because it's body shaming, it's body negative, and it actually spikes the anxiety. And that actually works against the goal. Some people last longer. Some people are quicker. Sex is a wide variety of things, and it shouldn't be rooted in penetration only, et cetera, whatever it is. So I applaud you for being mature enough to understand that it's not personal when someone can't or does too soon, or their erections don't last in the way that you wanted. Yeah, sex is disappointing sometimes. I'm disappointed that some people aren't flexible enough or whatever it is. That's life, you know? So yeah, that's how it is. To be with some people means they might ejaculate sooner than you want. Deal with it. Be mature. That's life. Okay, now we got that out of the way. your love language, physical touch, and you have a high sex drive. Awesome. There are so many things we can do to engage in sexuality, because sex is about what? Fun and pleasure, intimacy and connection. And that does not always require an erection or a penis or even penetration. Adult healthy sexuality knows that. Okay, so what can you do to get them back? Well, most likely, as a penis owner in this culture who has come most likely, you know, with multiple partners too soon, he has a lot of shame and guilt about it. You reinforce that. I tell people you don't bring it up. We don't get to comment on people's bodies. So I would apologize. Let them know that you are mature sexually. You know that everyone has a different kind of length of time that they last or don't last. It doesn't matter. You enjoy him and ask him to hang out again. You know, there it is. Slide in the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sex world. We want you to explore with confidence. Coming up next, couples therapy. Listening to Love Line with Dr. Chris on the new channel Q and radio.com.
Love Line
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
Now, though, we are going to be joined by comedian Margaret Cho. Margaret, welcome to I'm Listening, Stay Connected.
Thank you so much. That's very good advice. And I'm glad to be talking with you now. It's very lonely here.
Yeah. And that's kind of what I want to jump in and talk about. I'm asking everyone as they join us on the show, first off, how is your mental health right now?
It's pretty good. It's definitely different. I think that part of what I do in life is travel. And that's a major part of my personality. I've always been somebody who's on the road, and to be grounded in this way is very strange. And so I have been trying to take care of myself. I have a wonderful dog here who's sleeping. She is really, really important. I think animals have been a big help for everybody through this time. And I also have my instruments, my piano and my guitars and my accordion and my melodica and all the weird instruments I'm learning how to play because I have time. I'm watching movies like Eyes of Laura Mars, which I just watched today, wow, which I love. And so, you know, I'm grateful that we have streaming services and all kinds of ways to connect with other people. I'm doing a lot of talking on the phone and FaceTiming, and that's been very helpful too.
Yeah, and that's powerful. You started by saying the loneliness. I like yourself, my job as a therapist is a lot of face-to-face. I'm not home often, so I'm kind of feeling some of that loneliness as well. So our governor, Gavin Newsom, was talking about talking to at least 5 people every day. How are you managing the amount of socialization that you're trying to have? Are you reaching out when lonely? Are you trying to be preventative?
Yes, I'm definitely reaching out. And what's fortunate is that I do have somebody who is in this quarantine with me, but we're not living together, but we've been spending time together since that's the only person I've seen. But it breaks it up a little bit. But most of the time, I'm on my own. You know, of course, it's certainly something I'm very conscious of, and I'm very, very aware of the distancing. So I'm trying to not interact outside at all. And I'm trying not to go to the supermarket and stuff like that. I really am trying to kind of just stay and shelter in place. And but I am speaking to lots of different people all day long. I don't even wait until I get lonely. I kind of just reach out just to see if they're okay. And that's a nice thing to do.
Yeah, it's an interesting moment because as human beings, we literally require eye contact and touch. And so we're having to kind of go up against our natural impulses, even if you're kind of introverted. And so I applaud you for following the rules and staying in, because apparently we haven't even reached the peak of the COVID infections right now.
Yeah, and I really am so aware of that. And it really gives me anxiety when I look at the news and see people not following any of these guidelines, who are having parties and at the beach. And it's really scary that you're not taking this seriously. This is more people who don't take this seriously, the longer it will go on. And so I'm really trying to make sure that I don't get it, that I don't pass it along to anyone. I'm very also kind of a hypochondriac, so that is also another part of like having to manage that anxiety too. So it's a big deal.
Yeah. So other than becoming a one-woman band with all those instruments that you play, are there any other aspects of yourself emerging that you weren't familiar with before? Because I think that's interesting for me to track as a therapist, is like these different parts of ourselves or our relationship to ourselves kind of shifting throughout this time.
Well, I think I realize I'm far more of an extrovert than I realized, that I need other people much more than I anticipated. And I think the longer that we are locked down this way, I think more people are going to sort of get to know themselves a little bit better. I really feel very fortunate that I do have the ability to connect with people and, you know, make these calls, and I have people to call and people to see online, which is really a very big bonus. And I'm so grateful to my friends and family that we can all be connected this way. And we're reaching out to each other constantly and checking on each other constantly. So it doesn't feel as solitary, but it is certainly something to get used to.
Yeah, it is. And I worry, and I'm glad that people like yourself are still reaching out to individuals, because again, we're going to come out of this with some psychological damage, but I want us to try to prevent it from being like a true collective trauma. And I really think that staying connected is what's going to help us with that.
Exactly. And there is some fun in kind of trauma bonding. I do love to trauma bond. So there is a lot of collective joy in that. And you know, there's a funny thing of like our drive to go to something that is a little bit lighter, but everybody's fascinated with, like the Tiger King, you know, that we could all look to something in pop culture and really get obsessed with it. And that, I think, is a part of trauma bonding that makes it really fun.
Oh, I've never heard someone make trauma bonding so glamorous.
It's really glamorous.
Well done, Margaret. So do you also see this impacting your work? Are you still writing jokes and thinking comedically, or does that get backseated right now?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, there's so much to write about. And I have another added bonus in that I need to talk a lot about being Asian American throughout this, because I think all of us are looking for some kind of a scapegoat. And unfortunately, what's happening is that people are looking to Asian Americans as if we've caused this. We are just as much victims as everybody else. This is not the fault of Asian people. I mean, it's not right to lash out, but in a sense, that's the kind of frustration that people have, is that they want to blame somebody. And in a sense, it is a lot like the Islamophobia that happened after 9/11. It's this thing of like needing to lash out because we're in pain. And so those kinds of things, you know, I think are really important to talk about, to write about. So that's something that will definitely have a place in my work. But just the practical nature of going out and doing comedy, it's not possible. I have been doing some shows online, which is another fun, different way to explore that. So hopefully I'll do more of that.
Yeah, thank you for calling out the racism. I think that's been really heartbreaking to see, is watching that be how some people are trying to handle their anger and frustration. So thank you for pointing that piece out.
Yes, it's really frightening. And it also reminds me of when we were in the middle of AIDS. And this entire thing is like, I've noticed with a lot of my gay friends between the ages of 50 and 70, we all really can identify, like, this is very similar to the beginning of understanding what AIDS was doing to our community. And so we are resilient. We have the ability to rise above a plague and to survive it. And I know this firsthand because I've been through it. I've been through it with a lot of people. And so, you know, we've done this before. We can do it again. We can overcome this.
Beautiful resilience. But we do so by banding together, right? Not by othering.
Exactly. And that's so important. So it's a valuable time for us to just really band together and be united through this.
Love line. This is Love Line with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
Margaret Cho, we have some tweets. I'd love for you to answer with us. One of them came in specifically for you. For those that want to join the conversation, you can do so by sending your questions to our Loveline IG page or by tweeting at the hashtag I'm listening. We'll be answering the questions throughout the show. This question asks, hey, Margaret, I'm so thankful for comedy right now. What is your perspective on the need for humor and comedy at a depressing time like this?
We really need to laugh. Laughter is such a balm. It's such a healing thing. And to be able to laugh is really to be able to breathe and to breathe through it. It's almost, it's a very life-giving thing to be able to have laughter and to laugh about something. If you're laughing about something, then it means that you're dealing with the pain of it. And able to handle it. And so humor now is vitally important.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many great memes coming out of this, and there's moments where I want to repost them, and part of me is like, all right, I'm taking this seriously. This is a real thing. But also, yeah, we need moments away so our nervous system can relax. We can still find some joy that exists in the world. So, like, thank God for some of those memes, right?
I know. I love the memes, and I love that it's like, because right now I know that I'm definitely connecting with a lot of people out there who are addicted to manicures and pedicures, because this is the time, this week, it's the week where God, we really need them.
Yeah.
And so it's really terrifying to deal with your own calluses and to really know the extent of how hard that skin really is.
Wow.
So we're resilient, maybe a little too resilient in some areas.
Thank you for that, as I sit here thinking about my dry skin patches.
I know. Just it's only downhill from here. I mean, really, like, I was living through this quarantine. Everything was fine until I realized that I was missing my manicure and pedicure that I have usually about this. I don't do it all that much. It's about once a month, but I need it at that time. And so learning how to do your nails yourself, it's going to be a struggle.
Hang in there, Margaret. It'll be okay soon. Hang in. We have another question. So. This one asks, every time I watch the news and I see the numbers rise with COVID illnesses and deaths, my heart beats faster and I start to feel panicked. I know I should be watching the news to get updates, but I feel like I'm headed down a slippery slope by using alcohol to cope. Any of your tips would be appreciated with dealing with these anxious and scary times. So, you know, I keep seeing a lot of people talking about a lot of alcohol use, starting their morning with alcohol, pouring booze into, you know, their cereal. I mean, there's a whole lot going on in the alcohol world. How would you recommend people tackling that?
Well, I am fortunate enough to not have that in my life. And I know the pain of that because I am a recovering alcoholic and drug addict. And certainly there's a real desire to want to escape this. But unfortunately, it only adds problems. You know, I think that people who can drink and can do that, you know, go ahead, do you, have fun. I don't really have that ability, but I know that it's something that, like, when you're out of the, you know, out of the alcohol haze, then all you have is a headache and you still have all the same problems. And then people who are compromised in that, you know, you may have addictive tendencies anyway, this kind of a quarantine can really push you into a dark place. And alcohol is a depressant and it can make you feel worse than you might feel without it. So I think that it's really everybody's choice. But for me, I really am consciously trying to not medicate my emotions, because it doesn't stop there. It goes into a very dark place. And really to limit your intake of the news, maybe a couple of times a day to check in. Just watching it constantly is going to make you have anxiety. It makes everybody have anxiety. But as long as you're doing what you can to be socially distant, to be safe, washing your hands, you shouldn't be worried about it.
Yeah, I like the use of the word consciousness that you said, because I think on one hand, I'm telling people now more than ever, like, we have to be a little easier and letting go on our coping mechanisms, eat those extra cookies, sleep in a little bit more, but also not abusing ourselves with our coping mechanisms, because then it's not a coping mechanism. Like, we're supposed to walk away feeling soothed by them.
Yes. Yeah. Self-soothing and self-care is vitally important. But, you know, when it delves into addiction, maybe some difficulties that you maybe didn't even know you might have had. I mean, I think that anything like this that's going on will drive anybody to want to escape somehow. But I mean, I don't know. I think it's up to the person, obviously. But for me, those kinds of methods of self-care only backfire, unfortunately.
Margaret Cho, thank you so much for joining us, sending a lot of love and support to you in this time.
Thank you.
Have a great night.
Love Line
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, time to slide into those DMs.
Sliding into the DMs.
Sliding in the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sexy world and we want you to explore it with confidence. All the DMs come from our Loveline IG page, so if you want your DM answered on air, slide into the Loveline DMs and give us your question, or as always, give us a call, 833-LOVE-001, 833-LOVE-001. Hey, Dr. Chris, so I've been meeting and speaking with this woman, and we get along very well in person. We've gone on several dates, and she's been showing signs of interest. However, there's always the however. We live in different states, and whenever we're apart, I feel she would grow a bit distant, taking more time to reply to texts. We still do phone calls when the timing works for us. Any tips on how I can pursue her in such a situation? Yes. So what tends to happen in long distance relationships is that when you're together, a lot of closeness, we let our guard down. It's easier to really buy in because you're there. We can see you, we can touch you, we can feel you. But often when we can't be in your presence, it's really hard to feel close. And it's easy for us to question it, or to get preoccupied, or to think we need to focus on our time with, you know, on put our time and energy into what's in front of us. It's really hard to do what we call in psychology symbolize, because when someone's not physically present, they only exist symbolically. It's symbolizing them. I'm sorry, I'm struggling to talk tonight. So what you have to do is stay close and connected. So what I tell people is, when you're in a long distance relationship, it's important that you connect constantly, stay connected, because when space exists, sometimes that space can expand itself. And when you have long distance, those few check-ins daily are all you have to keep you tethered. You can't really, you know, it's like a bank account. You can't really put a lot of deposits in there like you can when you can see them every other day. And when you can see them frequently, that space between doesn't feel as powerful or as difficult. So keep connected every day. And I would say if you can do FaceTiming or Skyping or anything, you can make eye contact, that's most important. But I would say keep connected every day in some capacity and don't allow that drift to start, because what can happen is that drift can kind of get amplified and really complexify things. So stay close and connected. And when you are together, you know, really prioritize that time to have a lot of fun and intimacy, no difficult conversations or conflict. And again, keep close and connected between those times. Look, long distance is not ideal, because to feel really close and connected to someone, we need not just time with them, but we need touch and we need eye contact. And long distance doesn't often allow that. And so you do the best you can. But again, as I said, keep kind of tethered and connected. Don't let it drift too far, because that can just become beyond. But you hang in there when someone's worth it, you know? Slide in the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sexy world and we want you to explore with confidence. That's our show. We'll be back on Monday. So y'all have an awesome weekend. Thanks for hanging out with me. And y'all have an awesome, awesome night.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.